ringing the bell back there on Sunday morning. He's a very good helper. Well, welcome this morning. It's good to have everyone here for our joint worship service and our time of gathering this morning as we celebrate communion. And we know in our hearts that this is our final Sunday morning service that we will be having here gathered together. So it is wonderful to see so many of you here. This is a heartfelt day for a multitude of emotions and memories. But we will continue through this day knowing that God is with us. God walks with us. God breathes with us through this day. And we look forward to seeing you this afternoon when we have a time of celebration of singing, which we know we love to do so much in this beautiful church. It is one of the building's gifts to us that God has graced us with. And we look forward to a time of sharing memories this afternoon as well. For our announcements this day, I would ask two things. One, members of session for Woodsfield. I have something I need to give to you after church that we'll be discussing at Tuesday's meeting. So those of you that are here, if you would come forward after church so I can give you something. And also to, if you would like to participate in this afternoon service and do a scripture reading, I have four scriptures, and then there's one other piece as well. So if you would like to read scripture this afternoon or one of the other pieces, please let me know after church as well. And again, this Tuesday, September 14th at 6:30, Woodsfield will be having their session meeting again at 6:30, not 7. We made a half hour earlier time change there. And next Sunday, we have the joy of welcoming Julie Casto as a new member of our church at Woodsfield. So please come to welcome her in, as well as to stay for a time of fellowship after church. Also, too, out at Woodsfield, for the choir, if you want to sing, hope to sing, wish to sing, or praying that God will give you a wonderful voice between now and this coming Thursday, when the choir will be meeting again, please talk to Nick and Ashley, and they will give you information on what you need to know. Our next Communion Sunday will be World Communion Sunday, October 3rd. That will be the first Sunday in October. And are there any other announcements here this morning?
Says we at the very end, please sign a little extra book this morning.
Okay.
For our final service.
There is a register book at the door on the small table in the vestibule there. If you would please take the time to sign that, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Any other announcements? And again, our liturgy for the Sacrament of the Lord's Supper is your insert. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls to worship and glorify God.
Thank you.
confident of your presence and grateful for your mercy.
Amen.
Our opening hymn, Revive Us Again, number 44, and that'll be in the Hymns of Faith, which is the green book. The green book, Hymns of Faith, number 44.
Thank you.
God hears the confessions of our hearts and our lips. God rejoices when the lost are found. Through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven all our sins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered for new life.
We believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this day is found in 1 Timothy on page 991. First Timothy chapter 1. Verses 12 through 17. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our responsive reading is Psalm 14, found on page 453. Thank you.
Psalm 14 on page 453. I will read the odd-numbered verses if you would read the even, and we'll read verse 7 together. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God.
They have all turned aside, together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous.
We would shame the plan of the Lord, but the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. And our gospel reading this morning is found in the Gospel according to Luke on page 874. Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, our Creator, be with us in this time of your word. Bless it, guide it, open our hearts to it. And may the meditations of my heart and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day and as we go forth your people. We pray all this in the name of your Son, our Redeemer, our Savior. Amen. Both of these stories are quite familiar to us as always. The parables, as Jesus tries to teach us in a way that, again, we wish he would make so much more direct than he does. But as always, he uses everyday life to try to make a point, to try to help us understand what is important. And here today, he does as well. There are those who feel that this 15th chapter of Luke is the good news within the good news, if you will. It's sort of another story like the prodigal son. It can almost sum up the entire Gospels, the entire good news of Jesus Christ, the love of God revealed before us in this chapter. But as Jesus gathers with these sinners and he is around these tax collectors, the Pharisees and the scribes are again muttering about him. For you see, again, it's so important for us to realize this segregation that existed between them, the people of the law, the keepers of the law, and those people who did not follow the law. They had a general term, if you will, for them. They called them the people of the land. And if a daughter had married someone who was one of the people of the land, it would be as though she had walked into the most treacherous, dangerous place in life. The Pharisaic regulations laid it down this way. When a man is one of the people of the land, entrust no money to him. Take no testimony from him. Trust him with no secret. Do not appoint him guardian of an orphan. Do not make him the custodian of charitable funds. Do not accompany him on a journey. A Pharisee was forbidden to be the guest of any such man or to have him as his guest. It was forbidden. For you see, to these people of the law, there was no good person of the land. Matter of fact, they would not have said, there will be joy in heaven over one of these sinners, these people of the land who repents, for that's what they were looked at by the righteous ones, the holy ones. They looked at those sinners, but they didn't say, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. These righteous ones would have said, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who is obliterated before God. There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who is obliterated before God. Those are harsh words. And here Jesus tells them a parable of a shepherd. And it's important to understand this role of a shepherd that everyone would have understood. The scribes, the Pharisees, the sinners, the tax collectors. You see, a shepherd's role was to, in fact, lay down his life for his sheep. It was their livelihood. And the area that they had for grazing was a very narrow area of land. And if the sheep wandered too far, what welcomed them were the cliffs that were on the edge of the desert. So a lost sheep could mean a dead sheep. So the shepherd would go out looking for that one or two lost sheep. They were that important. And there were many flocks that actually belonged to a community of people. And so there might be two or three shepherds to care for them. And so if a sheep were lost, Two of the shepherds might go on and take the flock home to the community, but that one shepherd would go off looking for the lost sheep. And when that lost sheep was found, that shepherd would pick up that sheep and drape it around his neck. We've seen that picture many times. And he would come home carrying that sheep, and the whole community would rejoice. The same is true in the story that we hear of the woman who lost her coin. Women who were married wore a necklace of 10 silver coins. And these coins were the value of 1 week's salary. It would be like a wedding ring, if you will, for those of us who are married. But if you have something of great value, be it your wedding ring or something that means a great deal to you, my grandparents gave me this bracelet on my 16th birthday. I'm sure you have something that means a great deal to you, that if it were lost, you would look so diligently for it and you would be so upset until you found it. So it is with God. God will go to the ends of the earth, even death, death on the cross, in his Son, to find us sinners. It is easy to forget, those of us who come to church faithfully every Sunday or almost every Sunday, that we are sinners. We can begin to think that we are more holy because we read our Bibles daily and we pray without ceasing. And we do come to church, but we come because we are sinners. And we come to glorify the one who has sought after us. For the Jewish people, that was a foreign concept in Jesus, one who would come seeking them. Think about the day when God found you. Now, what may come to mind is a day when you proclaimed your faith in church, and maybe you even came forward in church to be saved, that day when you professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, I will go looking for you. I will find you. It's important for us to remember and to go back to those times, those moments when God found us. For God is always seeking us. God is always seeking you. And that is the message that we carry forth to everyone. That is the good news, that God loves us so much that God goes to the ends of the earth, even death, to seek us. This church has had a long history, 184 years, from a log cabin church, and my guess would be that they were meeting in someone's home somewhere before that little log cabin church was built. And then the log cabin church was torn down and a frame church was built. And then they grew and they moved across the street to this church, this building when it was built. 1914. God is always seeking. I'm sure people that lived and worshiped and glorified God in that log cabin church never imagined as they passed and went to their eternal home, that one day there would be a frame church there to seek the lost sinner, to welcome the sinner, to glorify God and give thanks. And those people that passed on to their eternal home before this church was built could never have imagined this beautiful building with its stained glass windows and a place to bring lost sinners, to welcome them home, to glorify God and give thanks for the one who seeks us. And as we are here this day, and we will move on and pass on to our eternal home, we cannot imagine where God will take this congregation, this body of Christ, in the future to welcome lost sinners, to welcome them home to the one who loves them, the one who saves them, and the one who will always seek their face. That work, that welcome, that news that we have to share does not cease to be our future of glorifying God, because we will cease together here. Our call as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ is to always welcome the sinner, to remember that we are, as Paul says, one of the foremost sinners. It is our call in life. It is our vocation. Know that God seeks you every day, every moment, and extend that love. Be that shepherd to another each and every day. Amen.
Our communion hymn, number 525, Here I Am. Thank you. feel God's presence and God's stirring in our hearts. We move into a time now where we share our joys, our thanksgivings, our prayer concerns this day, our life, our community together. Ashley.
Friday I talked to Ruby Seba, and either Friday afternoon or sometimes weekend, Ruby was moving to Care Center on the Hill.
I'm here.
So she's welcoming visitors. Go see them.
Here, Daddy.
This morning, how did you see my hand?
We hope to see you again. Earlene and her sisters, the gals, are headed down south for a time of rest and relaxation and fun, and Bob hopes he sees his van again. With Earlene and Father, gracious and loving God, you come into our lives. You shatter the coldness or the walls of annoyance or irritation or the walls that we build to hold people out, the laws that we put in place, the rules, the regulations that keep us opposed to one another rather than united in your love, your peace, your grace, your mercy. Holy God, you come to us seeking us, and throughout the life and ages of this church you have brought many home. And we know that your work will continue in this world, and Lord, as you keep moving and working through us to open our hearts, to open our arms, to open our very lives to your welcoming love, that as others heard the ones that we have spoken for loved ones and fellow church members, and the prayers that we keep silently on our hearts, and the prayers, O Lord, that we hold so tenderly for Diane, Aline, Tiny, for Lois and Ruth, as they go through this day. We ask, O Lord, that you hold them tenderly in your embrace. We give you thanks that we can come before you and bow before you and bring our most deep and most personal prayers to you always. And in that assurance, we pray this day. And we give you thanks, O Lord, that we may gather this day for your holy meal, where we are fed not only in body but in spirit, as we remember and join in union and communion with your Son, our Savior, that for all the ages we are one, your people, in love. So hear us this day as we pray, O Lord. And hear us now as we pray as Jesus has taught us. Pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come forward with thanksgiving and praise, glad for the opportunity to give as a sign that Jesus lives in our midst. Our offering will now be received.
Thank you.
few tears all around this morning, so let us affirm now what we believe, what we ground our faith in. Our Nicene Creed is on page 15. Luke the evangelist wrote of our risen Savior, who at table with two of the disciples took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread.
In the company of all believers, in every time, in the wrong time, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread.
Lord, we will.
Lift
up our hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to God most high.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Eternal God, who has created the heavens and the earth, giving breath to every living thing, we thank you for all the gifts of creation and for the gift of life itself. We thank you for making us in your own image, for forgiving us when we act as though you have no claim on us, and for keeping us in your steadfast care. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, the only one eternally begotten of you, who was born of your servant Mary and shared the joys and sorrows of life as we know it. We remember Christ's death, we celebrate Christ's resurrection, and in the beloved community of your church, we await Christ's return at the end of history. We take courage from the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We offer you our praise for women and men of faith in every age who stand as witnesses.
witnesses to your love and justice. With all the prophets, martyrs, and saints, and all the company of heaven, we glorify you.
Holy, 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 God of love and majesty, the whole universe speaks of your glory, of God most high. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God, the Lamb of God.
Please be seated. We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." By eating this bread and drinking this cup, we proclaim Christ's death, celebrate Christ's resurrection, and await Christ's coming again.
Amen. Come, Christ Jesus.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask you to bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in all the world.
Come, Holy Spirit.
The bread that we break is the communion of the body of Christ. For because there is one loaf, we are one body, for it is one bread from which we partake. The cup of blessing that we bless is the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, the bread of life, the cup of blessing. Come, for all things are now ready. Thank you.
His cup is the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It is the cup of the new covenant. Take and drink. And now you are invited to stand for our prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray together this while. Father, Holy God, we give you thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. Amen. This day and all days, God has called us to do great things. We are equipped by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have two closing gifts because, well, it just wouldn't seem right if we didn't try one.